Okay, since, yes, we've taken a few days to do the topic of modern Tehillah, we're now back in the Gemara. So let us go back over the Gemara, since you forgot that it existed, apparently.
Yeah, Yosef.
Wait, okay.
What's the Gemara?
Yeah, exactly. So the Mishnah says, Halavan. Halavan. This we have seen. Halavan. We did the Ma'akon Sekir several days. Nor do the two tefillin prevent the fulfillment of the other. Now the Gemara then says, "Lema matnitin delo kirebi." The Mishnah, which assumes that Chela and Lavan do not prevent each right, are not contingent on each other. The Gemara suggests that this is against Rebbe. Why? Because in the Braisa we find that Rebbe says that they are ma'akev, and the Chacham say not. My time with the Rebbe dechtiv akanaf min kanaf. Ruchdiv tild chilev. I'm Rachmona ritemoto. Adika chavayo bechad. Rabbana ritemoto. Kochad chudei mashma. And their machloket is whether oto is an integrated unit of the tchilev and lavan, which would imply that they are ma'akev because they are defined as one, or not. So lema deloki Rebbe. Doesn't this indicate that the Mishnah is unlike Rebbe? So then, what's the next move in the Gemara? The Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe Rebbe will reinterpret the Mishnah and will say that no, the majority position is in fact Ma'akvin. Ma'akvin. And when the Mishnah says Ein Ma'akvin, it doesn't mean that if there is no Lavan, then the Tchelet is still okay, or vice versa. That is going to be invalid according to Rebbe, because Tchelet Ma'akvin a Lavan, Lavan Ma'akvin a Tchelet, which is how, remember, the Baal Mor understands Rebbe Lamaskana and Paskins that way. Right? I mean, this understanding of Rebbe, namely the extreme understanding of Rebbe, that in fact, Chelet Ma'akevet Alavan, Lavan Ma'akevet Atchelet. Remember this? But that's the Baal Mor understood Rebbe. And Paskin's that way. So does Rebbe, and that was part of Ramban's critique, is what do you mean? At least the extreme view of Rebbe, right? Meaning, within that view of Rebbe, the Gemara said maybe it could be justified with the Mishnah, but the simple interpretation is that that extreme view of Rebbe is against the Mishnah. Right? Is against the Mishnah. Right? And the simple pshat of the Mishnah is that, in fact, Tchelet and Ma'akevet Alavan. But the Gemara now offers interpretations in which maybe the halacha is Ma'akevet Alavan. Right? Love and Ma'akevet Alavan. And when the Mishnah says Ein Ma'akev, it means a very specific halacha, which is not Ma'akev. So the Gemara has several options. Now this should all be, you should all remember this, yeah? Yeah, so the Gemara says maybe Afilutim a Rebbe and Lo Nitzcho El Kadeim. Maybe Rebbe will understand that the Mishnah will hold that the majority position is that in fact that without white you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Tchelet and vice versa. But there's a specific halacha which is not ma'akev, and that is the halacha of lahakdim. What does lahakdim mean, or lakadim?
To put it first.
Right, to proceed in English, yes. To put it first, to proceed. Meaning, the order is not ma'akev. And that's all it means. Detanya mitzvah lahakdim lavan l'tchelet. Because the Braisa says that it is a mitzvah to have the white go before the blue, the tchelet. Bimikdim tchelet lavan yatsa. But if the tchelet goes before the white, you are yotze, you fulfill your obligation. Ela shechiser mitzvah, but you're lacking a mitzvah. My chiser mitzvah. What does it mean you're missing the mitzvah? Ilem a chiser mitzvah de lavan v'kiyem mitzvah de tchelet. If it means that you're missing the mitzvah of white, but you fulfill tchelet, that can't be, because the Rebbe ikuvim ma'akev ha'adadi. At this stage in the Gemara is suggesting that according to Rebbe, fulfilling the mitzvah of Lavan and Tchelet depend on each other. So you can't say Chitzer mitzvah means you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all, meaning the mitzvah of white, and you do fulfill Tchelet, because then what? You wouldn't fulfill anything. Right? You wouldn't fulfill anything because this is within Rebbe who holds Ma'akev. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav Shechitzer Mitzvah V'Asa Mitzvah. It means you lacked but performed a mitzvah. My Chitzer Mitzvah. What does it mean? D'lo Avad Mitzvah Min Hamuvchar. It simply means that while you performed the mitzvah, you do not perform the mitzvah in the ideal way. So the issue that we need to define is, okay, what is this principle? Now, this principle of l'kadem. So first we need to understand, what does it mean? The second thing we got to figure out is, do we paskin like it? Because remember, at this stage in the Gemara, according to whom is this halacha of l'kadem a thing?
Rebbe.
Only according to Rebbe, assuming the interpretation of Rebbe, that Tchelet Ma'akev et Alavan means literally Tchelet Ma'akev et Alavan, and therefore he has to reinterpret the Mishnah when it says Ein Ma'akev to be about something else. But the Chachamim, who hold that Tchelet Ein Ma'akev et Alavan and Lavan Ein Ma'akev et Tchelet, potentially, might not hold this halacha at all, because they don't need the reinterpretation of the Mishnah, because they follow the simple understanding of the Mishnah, namely Eina Ma'akev, and therefore they may not need this halacha. So whatever this halacha means, it may not even be true of the halacha.
It could be that it's not a machloket at all. That
it could be.
The Chachamim are talking about what we originally said, that having love and having tchelet.
You know what I mean? They might hold.
And then Rebbe is coming along and also adding.
No, they're
not contradicting.
No, they clearly argue. The Brisa says they argue. The question is, what does their argument mean? Right? The Brisa says there's an argument between Rebbe and the Chachamim. That's clear. The question of whether the Chachamim will accept this halacha, even though they're not forced into it, based on the interpretation of the Mishnah, is an open question. There's some machlokas between them. What it is the point of the Gemara is trying to figure it out. Okay, good. What does Rashi say this halacha, to the extent that it exists, is, Daniel? Wait, someone text, by the way. You got a pulse. Okay. See if he's...
I got it. Who's going to pulse? Doc,
okay?
I said I got it.
Is he 39 also? Is he 39?
He's
49. 49. So he...
Gabi, you better not be doing it.
Daniel.
Okay, Daniel. So, according to Rashi, what does it mean? When the Gemara says that there is a halacha of the kadem, what does it mean? Or lakdim. Right. You guys did this in Seder, so what does Rashi say? You can say it outside, and then we'll read it inside. Or read it inside and then say it outside. Masha Balakha. Okay, let's read it inside. El Hakdim. Read Rashi. Amiuchar. So what does he say? That if you put the later one, meaning the tchelet, in before the white comes first in the pasuk, that's the problem. And if you put the tchelet in first, which you shouldn't have done, it does not prevent you from fulfilling your obligation. What's the last words? Ve'ein tzarich lipsok ha'tchelet elitin ha'lavan acharav. You don't have to take the blue back out and start again. Just put in the white, and it's okay. So according to Rashi, what does the what do the words mean? Lehakdim.
To put one before the other seems.
Meaning, put them in when? When? When you make them. Right? When you make the tzitzit, Rashi says the mitzvah is to put the white strings in, and then to put the tchelet strings in.
So that way, because we're just making white first.
Right. But that Rashi interprets order as being the order of placing in the baguette. Right. Please don't explain it within the words that we're using. That's confusing. The Gemara, we're defining the word lahakdim, which means to put in first. So don't say, Rashi says, oh yeah, put in first. Well, what does put in first mean? Rashi says, that doesn't help me. Rashi says, correct. Rashi says that the issue is, when you make tzitzit, and you have the beged, and you insert the tzitzit, you should put the white in before the tchelet. And if you don't, so then what does Rashi say? It's fine. It's fine. That's what Rebbe means. Good. Who really doesn't like Rashi's interpretation?
Shita Mikubetze.
Shita Mikubetze. Why doesn't he like it? Who is the Shita Mikubetze?
A rabbi.
Very good. Yes, a rabbi. Good. Which rabbi?
Spain.
What's his name? Nate is looking it up.
What?
Who is the Shittim of Betzet?
Oh. Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Yeah.
Yep. Rev Bitzalel.
No, wait.
Ashkenazi.
Ah. I'm still looking it up.
Okay, look it up, and then tell us his biography.
Go away.
I remember once that I was in Shir, I was in a Friday night Shir by Rev Rosenzweig, and he said, in the famous tshuva of Rav Bitzalel Ashkenazi, tshuva lametet, at which point I paused because it was clear that even in the room of why you guys, 50% of the room had no idea who Rav Bitzalel Ashkenazi was. Maybe the other half of the room knew of Rav Bitzalel Ashkenazi, maybe knew he wrote the Shittim Mekubetzet, had no idea that he wrote anything else, and maybe one person in the whole room was aware of what tshuva lametet said. That's always the danger of calling something famous. It is an excellent tshuva by Rav Bitzalel Ashkenazi. Fascinating, but famous, I guess, eh?
Can't find anything.
Really?
Let me try this one more time.
Do you not Google in Hebrew?
No, I could.
That would be easier. Bitzalel Ashkenazi.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'll do that one in English.
Since you're insisting on looking it up. Which is good, actually.
Okay.
1 second. Who is he?
Bitzalel ben Avraham Ashkenazi was a rabbi and a Talmudist who lived in Ottoman Palestine during the 16th century. He's best known as the author of the Shita Mekubetzet, a commentary on the Talmud. He's very straightforward in his writings and occasionally offers textual amendments to the Talmud.
There you go. So the Shita Mekubetzet essentially is exactly what it sounds like. It's a Shita Mekubetzet. It brings together other positions. Often when we don't have access because we've lost the manuscript of certain Rishonim, the only access we have are from the Shittim Mekubetzet, the record that he had, that he wrote into his Sefer. So he doesn't like Rashi. Now before we look at the Shittim Mekubetzet, what is weird about Rashi? Tovia, since Tovia already mentioned it. What is weird about Rashi?
They put in the
students
together.
So Tovia notes that why would I do this? Now, the truth is that it's not a big deal. You could just say, well, that's different because we have all white. If you're using all white, so there's no difference of putting one in before the other. But what's weird about Rashi? And what's weird about Rashi is, well, maybe you don't see it as weird, so let's see what the Shittim Mekubetzet says. And then we'll try to understand them. What does he say? Who wants to read the Shittim Mekubetzet? Nachum.
I do.
Yes, of course you do. It's in the Gemara. Really? Have I ever had a... it's actually for the last 2 days. We're given. We did the Tchelet things. A long week it has indeed been. I heard that the fire was in the news. Tach Shamati.
Wait, which news?
Moji in news.
Oh, cool.
Makes sense.
Come on, you knew where this was.
It says
Big Dal. Okay, what does he say? First he quotes a Tosfot Chitzoniyot. So, like I said, the Shittim Mekubetzet often has access to Rishonim that we don't have. So what does he say? The first Shittim Mekubetzet, what does he say?
To place the white in the corner of the tefillah as the garment? No. What's that?
Yeah, that's right. To put it in first.
Oh, sweet. That's right. Hello, Nehira. The mitzvah ikah. And it does not appear that...
it doesn't seem right.
What's his critique?
What is this? My chavivu de mitzvika, meaning?
What
does it make it better? Who cares? Why should you have to put it in first? What's the point?
Yeshua Martin Mitzvah Lahakim Kole Shalomam
He said maybe what it means is maybe what it means lakdim is the wrapping, which we'll see in Lametet, which is that when you wrap, you start with the white and you end with the white. See?
You end with the blue.
What?
End with the blue.
No, you start and end with white.
It means a knot, not a string.
You start and end with white. That's what it means, see? White, white.
Okay.
Right?
Why does it say blue after white?
No, lahakdim lavan letchela, the white before the blue.
Right.
So he's saying, he says it's not about putting it in, it's about the tying.
Right, so you'd
the wraps.
You'd end with blue though.
No. It's white, then blue, and you also end with white.
Oh, okay.
But it's white comes before blue, and it also ends with white.
Mm.
Like this, see?
Like a pattern, white, blue, white, blue, white.
White, exactly, white, blue, white. Blue, white, like this one has white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white, blue, white. Okay? So he says it's not about when I put the strings into the tzitzit, it's about the way that I wrap. So let's now the shidu, let's look at the shidu mitzvah again in this next tosus that he quotes. Again, right, it's the same thing. He says, "Bitoch perusho mashem ha'elin and chiver achutin b'knaf demitzvah." La'akdim lavan memtchelat le'lavan lamaake. Rashi sounds like it's about putting the strings into the begin, right? Same thing. And again, he quotes this Tosus, who doesn't like it. He says, "V'lo nira." It doesn't seem right. Why? D'ma shayach lomar hakdama b'davar she'ino nikar. Said, why would you say lachdim in something that is not recognizable? Shaharei achar she'nitchavu shnehem ein nikar mi'igdim lachaveiro. Because after they're both put in, you couldn't tell. Therefore, he also interprets the Ma'ir b'krichot achutin, the mitzvah la'akdim cholya shalavan chilak damar lekaman matchil b'shalavan u'misayim b'shalavan. And therefore, it must be about the wraps. The kamar shemikdim cholya shaltchil l'shalavan ein ma'ake v'hachi perusha l'manizin. And this is what the Mishnah means: halavan sh'ra'u la'akdim tchila einu ma'ake v'tchilat im hikdimo tchila l'lavan.
What about
Tosfos,
right?
Okay. So now, let's try to understand Rashi and the Shita Mikubetzet. What is the Shita Mikubetzet? Both Tosfotim. That the Shimon Gassim quotes, what is their problem with Rashi? Why do they not believe that the words lagdim could mean to put the white string in the beged before the blue string? Why don't they believe this? Thank you. What it bothers them? What bothers them?
Because he can't.
You read it. So what does it say?
After the fact, you can't see which order.
And therefore, so let's tease out what he's saying. He's saying because after the fact, it makes no difference. Therefore, what? What's his claim? So what?
Therefore, Hikdim must be in something else.
But why does it matter? Ask you a kasha. Remember we learned a few months ago the halacha of Kisidron?
Yes.
Can you tell afterwards whether it's written order?
No.
No.
Well, it depends which shita you hold on.
By the end. If you think Kisidron is about the process of writing, the way we paskin, not the way the Ron says it.
How can you tell which string was?
You can't tell.
Right.
By Ksiva. And yet is a mezuzah that is written out of order according to the way we pass control. Is that puzzle? Yes. Can you tell the difference?
No.
So what's he saying? You can't tell the difference.
Since it's also the strings brought up together, you can't tell, and then you tie it.
Correct, but who cares? That's my point. Is it by tefillin? You can't tell either. And yet, how do we paskin? It was written out of it's puzzle. So why the Shin to Mikubetz that say it can't be that? Why can't it be that? It's true by tefillin. It's true by mezuzah. Does it affect the mezuzah? Does it affect the mezuzah? Yeah. It's written backwards.
Right. It's puzzled, right?
Good. So now tell me, explain to me.
Well, because the
what must the shin does the thing?
You're tying the tzitzit. You're tying all four strings at once. You're tying them all together. It's one tie.
It's one mezuzah. What's come on? What does he think? What does the shin does clearly think? Why is he bothered by this? You're on the right track, but push it. Sharpen what you just said.
It's not tzitzit until you have all four strings tied together.
Okay. Meaning, that's I think a step later. What does he say? What is the basic assumption that drives the Shita Megubetza? I think you're onto something, but hold it. Even more basic. What is driving the Shita Megubetza to say? Well, you don't notice it anyway, so why should that make a difference? That's not always true in halacha. You did lishma. If you don't write lishma, is it kosher? No. So whatever. You went through the sugya. But can you tell looking at something whether it was made lishma? No. Does it possible certain things? No. Is there a physical thing in lishma? No. Does it possible certain things? Yes. No, that's not his kasha. No, you're mixing up his answer with his question. He doesn't like Rashi, and therefore he has to come up with a different interpretation. Explain to me why he doesn't like Rashi. Why does he think it can't make a difference?
He counters Rashi, who thinks it doesn't make a difference.
Why? Rashi thinks it makes a difference. He says it doesn't make a difference, and that's why he has to reinterpret Lachdim as being about the order in which you wrap. But why doesn't he think that something that is not recognizable in tzitzis can be relevant?
The knots are looked at.
Right? Or can you read? The Torah says. Rashi says if I put the strings in the wrong order, that is halachically significant. The Shita Megubetzet says, no, it isn't. Because it won't look different by the end. And therefore, the only possible interpretation that he can offer of Lahakdim that makes any difference, Ma'akiv, not Ma'akiv, meaning makes a difference, is one that is recognizable by the end. Except we know that many areas in Halacha, there are things that cannot be discerned by the end and are in fact important. Lishma, Kesidran, all types of things like that. So that is just taken at face value. The Shita Megubetzet is just wrong. It is not true that it doesn't matter the order in which you do things, even if by the end you can't tell how it was done. That's not true. There are many areas in halacha where, in fact, it matters. So clearly, the Shita Megubetzet isn't claiming that it never matters, as long as by the end it's the same. He can't be saying that because that's not true in halacha. That's just not true. There are things in halacha that do matter. But meaning, not everything in halacha is it true that if I can't tell by the end. So what is he? What must he be assuming about tzitzis? Why here doesn't it matter? Good.
The whole mitzvah is just to have a string.
Correct. Is that he must be assuming that tzitzis are completely result-oriented. Completely result-oriented. And therefore, process can't matter. Meaning he's making an assumption. It's not that result can never matter. It's that result here can't matter. Now, why would you say result can't matter here? Yeah. Why would he argue... Sorry, only result matters. Why?
Because there's just a mitzvah to have four strings on your garment.
Okay, but let's push it farther. That's clearly his conclusion. But why does he think that? What drives him to think that? So, Gav, you were in the middle of saying something. Why would you think that?
What drives you to think that only...
The only thing that matters by tzitzis is result, and not... Meaning, in a nutshell, what is the machlok between Rashi and Tosfot? Rashi and the Tosfot, Tim quoted by the Shnum Gwetzet, is, can process matter or only result? Right, Rashi thinks that process matters. The Tosafim quoted by the Shmuel Bezit think that process doesn't matter. Now, why would Rashi think that process can matter? Because process matters in a lot of things. Right, it's not crazy to say that process matters. The creation of an object sometimes has standards in terms of the procedure that one follows. If one doesn't follow the procedure, even if you can't tell by the end, we know that there are many areas like this, Kisidra and Lishma, etc. Right? There is such a concept that in order to imbue something with halachic significance, you have to do it in a certain way, and if you don't, it's lacking, or puzzle. In this case, just lacking, but not puzzle. But what convinces the Shittim Gubetzer that it's not true here?
Because the Shittim Gubetzer is saying that the process is the tying, not putting the strings in.
Good, so there's several ways we could put it. One is that it's not that he thinks the result doesn't matter. It's about the result. It's that he doesn't think that putting the strings in is at all a significant action. One second. One possibility, though this doesn't quite sound like Tosfot, it doesn't sound like his language, but you could have said, well, maybe the reason is simply he's not convinced that putting the strings in is significant at all. What's significant is the creation of the tied baguette.
He's not saying, now, okay, it could be that the Shittim is could be saying that yes, the process does matter, but the process is not putting in the strings, it's tying the strings.
So you could have said that, right? You could have said that maybe they both agreed about process. The difference is the process of putting in the strings, is that when the halakhically significant moment starts, or the tying? Why does that not quite sound like what he's saying? Or not? Definitely not the complete svara?
When you tie, you say...
Language, man! Read it! Right? Lumdus is great. Why in language would I be hesitant to take that as the Shittim Gubetzer's position? Because what's his formulation? What is his problem? Lo nire la'ayin. He is result oriented.
Right.
Meaning his language isn't putting in is not significant, only tying is. What is Nachum? What is his language?
The result is of the process.
Okay.
So,
but what does his language sound like?
With tying, you can clearly see whether.
Okay, but is his language process oriented or result oriented?
It's
result oriented. It's result oriented. Now, you could say that those are there's combined, meaning he thinks that because the emphasis is on what will be visual by the end, the only process that's significant is the type of process that will have some manifestation in the result. You could have said that, right? But you have to come up with some hybrid, because his language is clearly that result, not process.
Okay.
His language.
Yes. Yes.
If we care about language, which, as you know, I do. I don't like just throwing around lumdus in the air and saying, I could say, you could say, but I'm not going to because, right? We've been through this before.
The result is of the process.
But you're right. I'm not opposed to saying that maybe he's saying that in this case, it's a result that is reflected in the process. Now, why might you say that? Sorry, a process that's reflected in the result. Why might you say that? What would lead you to a svara of this sort?
For the Shittim Gubetzer?
Yeah, for the Shittim Gubetzer. Why would you think that that's true of Tzitzis, Daniel?
There's a way to tie it as well.
Okay, right, meaning it could just be that he knows, evidence-wise, that there is a way of tying, and therefore he knows that at that point it's significant. Right? Now, look, he could come up with different ways. He could have said, look, the Kesher Elyon Daraita, only the first... It's only, right, biblically you need to have that first tie.
Right.
So anything until the first tie is not significant, right? You could have come up with many different svaras. Now, one possibility I would say is you could orient his answer around the purpose of tzitzit. Meaning, why might he think that perception at the end is what's going to determine tzitzit?
That's what it's the mitzvah.
Because the purpose of tzitzit is uri temoto, right? The way it's described in the psukim is that you'll have a result which you can see and will remind you. And maybe he thinks that affects the mitzvah itself, meaning maybe by tefillin or by mezuzah, it doesn't matter. It matters the process, because the Torah doesn't tell you that what matters is what it's going to look like by the end.
Right.
But by tzitzis, where the result is clearly so emphasized, right? It's how are you going to view this? So maybe he says the fact that the Torah describes the purpose of tzitzit as ritemoto, the only type of thing which can affect the halacha is something which will be manifest at the stage of ritemoto. Right? So I think that's definitely one plausible way of taking the Shin Gemara Betza. The reason he's convinced that the only process that matters is one that's manifest in the result is because this emphasis on Nikar, Lain, what will you see by the end, is because maybe by Tzitzit that's integrated into the mitzvah, because the mitzvah, and the purpose of the mitzvah is described as a Ritamoto. Now, Rai Leibowitz, I was listening to his share on the topic, and I took many of his sources, suggests that there's another possibility, which is maybe, and this is not something I'd expect you to know, right? He said, but the way he takes it is, look, it's clear that the simplest understanding of Machloket is that Rashi thinks that Seder is about the process, and Shidim Gubetze thinks it's about the result. But then he asked the same question I did, which is, well, why can't you say it's a din in the process? We have many halachot in process, by tefillin, by sefer Torah, has to be lishma, etc., right? Even if you don't hold of kisidron, or you hold kisidron is about result like the Ran, lishma is clearly process. There are process halachot. So why would you say that by tefillin and tzitzis, by tefillin and mezuzah and sefer Torah, process matters and tzitzit doesn't? So he suggests the following. There are two types of kedusha that we have. Main types of kedusha. One is we have kedusha, things which are kadosh and tashmishe kedusha. Tefillin, sefer Torah, are what's called tashmishe kedusha, meaning they have inherent sanctity. They have inherent sanctity. L'may nafkamina. What's the difference? What's the difference if tefillin has inherent sanctity? What do you have to do when you're done with your tefillin? Geniza. Then there's a category called tashmiche mitzvah. Tashmiche mitzvah, which are only kadosh while you do the mitzvah. But when you're done with the mitzvah, what are you allowed to do? Throw it out. For example, right, lulav and esrog, right? You know, everyone says, oh, save your lulav. That's very nice. But halachically, you can chuck it.
It's nice if you get it.
Yeah, you know, not in a bizayon. Instead, throw it in a separate garbage and throw it in the garbage. Fine, but fundamentally, it has no kedusha. As soon as the mitzvah is done, zeu.
Right.
He suggests that maybe those things which are tashmiche kedusha, which have inherent sanctity, then, because they have inherent sanctity, what does that mean they require? They require a process to be mekadesh them. They need a process. Not kisidron, they need a process. And therefore, it makes sense for things along the way to matter. Because what are you doing? You're asking, how am I going to imbue this with kedusha? Does tzitzit have that type of kedusha?
No.
No, tzitzit does not have that status. And therefore, he says, that emphasizes what? If you don't have to sanctify the object, because tzitzit are not like tefillin in that way, they're not tashmichi kedusha, then what? So then what? Right? He argues that why might you think that only the result matters and not the process by tzitzis? Because maybe process only matters when you're creating something with kedusha, inherent kedusha, tashmishe kedusha, because there process matters because you have to imbue it with kedusha. But by tzitzis, where you're not imbuing it with that type of kedusha, because it's not tashmishe kedusha, then process doesn't matter because the result is just tashmishe mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It has to be functional, but it doesn't have to be inherently sanctified. And therefore, maybe what the Shittim Metzit is holding is that the process can't matter here because the result is, right, it's not something with it. You don't have to create sanctity. You don't have to create sanctity, inherent sanctity, then maybe process matters less.
Or Rosh, you'd be saying that it, you need to create
a maybe, or he just argues with this and says, why not? Why shouldn't you, right? In the end of the day, it's still a Chavtza Shal Mitzvah. Why shouldn't there be process in creating Chavtza Shal Mitzvah?
Okay.
Right? I mean, Rashi could just say, I don't buy it. But his fundamental point is that maybe it's clear that in certain halacha process matters, but maybe that's only when you're creating inherent sanctity, and maybe as you went to things that can't matter here. Okay, so those are, I think, two general possibilities. That either this is about different levels of kedusha, that things that are more kadosh, process matters more, and therefore the Shidim Gwetzit isn't convinced that tzitzit have that inherent sanctity enough such that process could matter. Or alternatively, the Shidim Gwetzit is not convinced that Echa Marti. Or maybe, sorry, he's convinced that because the purpose of tzitzit is ritemoto, that integrates into the chefetz shel mitzvah and tells us that the only type of halacha that's going to matter is that which is manifest by the end. Because we interpret the nature of tzitzit in light of its end goal. So maybe this is a very localized tzitzit argument. Namely, that it can only be, the only thing that can matter can be something which is nikar lion, because then it integrates into the meta understanding that we have of tzitzit. Good?
No.
One more time?
Good.
Tell me. Start from the beginning, Yosef. According to Rashi, what does lahakdim mean?
There's a process to it. Put white first and then add it.
Correct. Shumetsu doesn't like it because he says
there's no need to put process on it.
No. What does he say?
He says order doesn't matter.
Why does an order matter? Of putting in because what does he say? Not what do we interpret as. What does he say?
He says that it doesn't matter how it doesn't matter.
Because
he can't see it.
Because you can't see it. Okay. The problem that so it's clear that they're arguing about Rashi thinks process does matter. Shita Mekubetzet thinks only the result. The question is, why is the Shita Mekubetzet so convinced that process doesn't matter? Process often matters in halacha. So one possibility is that maybe it's true, but you only need process when creating higher levels of kedusha. And the Shita Mekubetzet therefore thinks by tzitzit they can't be true, but obviously by sefer Torah can. And Rashi will just argue. It says no, process can matter by chefetz shel mitzvah less because it's on ma'akev. And that's possibility one. The second possibility is maybe there's a local argument about tzitzit, which is that he's convinced that by tzitzit only result is going to matter because
it's a ritemoto.
Because since the nature of the mitzvah is defined as a ritemoto, or the purpose of the mitzvah is described by the pasuk ritemoto, only the types of things which will be recognizable at the stage of ritemoto can make a difference. Right? Maybe that's what he's convinced of. Okay? Now, let's skip for a moment. Do you guys get to the iter by chance?
No.
So, now if I asked you, how would you know whether this is a localized halacha about tzitzit, which is the second formulation, or this is a more universal understanding of the way halacha works? What would be the indicator? Daniel, how would you know whether this is a local tzitzit understanding, a localized machloket, or a broader machloket? How would you know? Oh, think about it. How would you know? Yeah, very simple. If it was a local machloket, would you expect this to manifest itself outside of tzitzit? Obviously not. That would not be what the word local means. I mean, if this is a local machloket, then you would expect that it would only be found in tzitzit. But if you think that there is a general approach here, that the Shita Mekubetzet, for whatever reason, in general in halacha, is more reticent about accepting process as relevant, unless we're told otherwise, then you'd expect to manifest itself otherwise. Now, Pashas is that whatever this machloket is, it's local. That's the simplest understanding. However, if you look at the Sefer HaEter in number 4, who is the Eter?
That's this problem.
Very good. What country is the Eter from, Daniel?
Turkey.
Germany.
Good. What's his name?
Blah 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 blah. Oh wait. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, it's not Turkey.
Wrong thing.
Yes.
Okay, Hebrew it is.
Okay, fine. So what is the right? Let's do a little biography here. Sefer HaEter. Who is he?
Wikipedia.
It's Wikipedia. Nee.
Okay.
There's even a song called Wikipedia.
There's a nut called
Wikipedia. Okay, but that's not Wikipedia.
Yeah. Israelis pronounce all sorts of things weirdly.
Not weirdly.
Yitzchak ben Abba Mari.
Good. Yitzchak ben Abba Mari. Where's he from?
He was a provincial rabbi and author of...
What does provincial mean?
I don't know because...
He's from Provence. Oh, how many times have I talked about Provence?
That's why the sea looks weird.
Southern France.
Yitzchak ben Abba Mari.
Provence, yeah?
And he was from he was born in Provence and died in Marseille. So, yeah, France.
Southern France. Remember, Provence is a different region than what we think of as the northern French region, not the Balaitozo. This is the Provençals, the Itur, the Rivet, the Meiri, the Balamor. Remember all those people? Yes, the Itur is one of those.
So,
good.
Yitzchak ben Abba Mari, often simply referred to as the Baal HaItur, was a Provençal,
He's from Provence.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, yeah, rabbi, an author of Itur Sofrim that hailed from Marseille. His magnum opus, Itur Sofrim, treats on the Jewish conjugal laws between a man and his wife, as also a treatise on monetary laws, and another on the Jewish holidays, as also a portion of the laws governing Kashrut. He largely bases his own work on the judicial decisions passed down by the Babylonian Geonic Authority.
Geonic.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Yes, the Geonim. Okay, good. So that's the Itur. Good. Now we've done a little biography. We know the Itur.
You want if you want.
Oh, thank you.
Geonic.
Okay. So if you look at the Itur writes as follows. Titania. Mitzvah lagdim lavan l'tchelet b'chol talit tzvu'in levanin. The mitzvah is to put the white before the tchelet. D'chtiv azulem tzitzit v'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf p'til tchelet. V'imikdim tchelet lavan yatza. But if you put the tchelet first, you still fulfill your obligation to laka ituva b'kdima l'shechaser mitzvah. Because this does not prevent you from fulfilling your obligation. It's just that you lack the mitzvah. My mitzvah, chaser. Even the chaser mitzvah de lavan, k'man de lat adami. If it would mean that you didn't fulfill the white, that means it doesn't exist. The yatzah de gamar kiu mitzvah dat chelet. And maybe yatzah means you only fulfilled chelet. The Rebbe, ikuva makveh. That can't be, because this is within Rebbe, who says that chelet lavan are makveh. And therefore, if you don't fulfill the white, you don't fulfill the chelet. Okay, so far that's basically a quote of our Gemara, that you don't get the mitzvah min ha-mubchar. But then he said something surprising. Umistabralon ba'arba minin shebalulav. Nami mitzvah lagdim lulav lahadas. Vadas larava keseder akatuv imigdim yatsa. And therefore, when you put together the arba minim, the lulav and the ezrog, etc., he thinks you should put in the lulav first, and then the hadas, and then the arava. Why?
Because that's the order of the pasuk.
Because that's the order of the pasuk.
Is this based on how they put it in the thing now, in the old rules? Because now
we don't paskin this way.
Right.
We don't, and I don't put it in those horrible holders.
You stopped. My family stopped using
those horrible holders.
A koshiklach. No.
Koshiklach.
Well, they're horrible in terms of sock. It's not about
what
they're good. They're good. They're good in the sense of holding your things together.
No, I hate them.
In terms of the
holders. No, I hate them.
Oh, you just don't like
what them. The weaved one. The
yeah.
What's wrong?
Boom! They destroy your hadassim and your arava when they go through.
Oh, if you don't make them big enough, yeah, it stinks.
No, you have to, like, push it down to make it bigger.
No,
it's like a Chinese finger.
Yeah, I just use... I'm not saying halakhically there's any problem with them. I just don't like them, personally. This is a personal preference thing.
Oh, okay.
For anyone on the who listens on the recording, I'm not saying you can't halakhically use kashrut. You obviously can. I just don't like them, personally.
Oh, there isn't a problem with them?
No, there's no problem. I just don't like them. They tear out leaves. Yeah. Right, if you accidentally... Right, they have to go down. But if you accidentally pull them up at all, they, like, shred... your Adasim and your Aravos. I just don't like them. I'd rather just make a bunch of rings and tie them up, and then if I have to undo it, I can just undo the rings. Yeah. It's so easy.
Problem with rings is that they come undone or they get loose, or they get loose.
No, they
and
only if you don't know what you're doing.
You don't make good rings.
I make perfect rings. They work until...
No, you lock them. You lock them.
Yeah, so do I...
You lock them.
You lock them.
Yeah, I do lock them.
I don't know. I haven't had problems.
And
I, if you look, if you like,
or if the loops get pushed up a tiny bit, it's the same thing as the.
I don't know. I haven't had problems with my loops.
They get pushed upward on the loop, and then you try to, and then it's loose when it's a thinner thing. And then you try to push it back down, and it gets caught in the leaves.
Well, that can happen. But that you'll have anyways, because the kashal hawks are on the bottom. But they're not at the top. The top you can ring anyways. But anyway, again, that's just my personal preference. I don't like them. That's not like a halachic claim. You're free to use kashar kwach if they make you happy. I just don't like them. Okay. But that wasn't even the point. The point of the iter was that the iter said that you learn from the mitzvah of l'hakdim that what? Of l'hakdim by Lavan and Chelet that and therefore, it's true by Arbaminim as well, that he thinks that what Rashi says for Tzitzit, that you have to put the Lavan in before the Tchelet, is true of the Arbaminim, that you have to put the Lulav and then the Hadassim and then the Aravot. If you do it not, then
what
you miss
the what does it mean, put it, though? What are you putting it in?
I guess as you're starting to tie them together.
Or like you pick up the Lulav first, then you take the Hadassim,
like when
you
when you're tying them, right?
You
if you when you tie them, yeah. That's a bit weird, but what is his... Clearly, how does he understand Rashi? Or he understands the sugya, he understands it like Rashi. He thinks that Rashi's claim is universal, which is that process always matters. That whenever the Torah says... Now, I don't think it's always. If I had to guess, what does the Itcher think? That... Well, actually, no, he seems to think it's universal. That any time the Torah has any Hefta Shal Mitzvah... Process matters, at least lechatchila, and therefore you're supposed to do it in the order of the pasuk. Now, I could have argued that Rashi would not agree with the Itcher, and that maybe Rashi only thinks that process matters by tzitzis, but would not think order mattered by lulav. What would be the difference? Why? What leads me to think that the Itcher is probably not right? That even if you hold like Rashi, the process matters in terms of making your tzitzit, process doesn't matter in terms of how I put together the arba minim.
Because the arba minim are not time bound. Is that a factor to it?
Okay, if you say you throw something out, explain to me why it's relevant. It's like saying tzitzis are right. Tzitzis are white and blue, and the arba minim are green and yellow.
Because after Sukkot,
therefore what?
Because after Sukkot, what is it? Just a bunch of plants you put together.
So.
It's lost its value.
So what? Well, it doesn't do anything. But right now it's a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah, so why shouldn't he be right?
For now it is, but after
so what? So what? But right now it's a Chetzah Shel Mitzvah.
Everlasting.
So what? But right now, that's not joy. Take off the tzitzit, they're not everlasting. I don't understand the problem. Come on. Think, why am I not convinced by this interpretation of the Yitzhak? Think psukim. Think words in the Torah. Dvar Hashem.
You don't need to do the Arbat HaMinim L'Shem Mitzvah.
Why not?
You do?
Come on. Of course you do. Well, come on. What's the difference?
Is it Uskar Tzimim? I can't remember.
Come on.
Is it because it's Uri Tebo Toh?
No. Different. I would suggest the following. That. Why might Rashi think that process matters in terms of making... Tzitzit, because what keyword appears in the pasuk that might indicate that process matters? No. Thank you. That it says make tzitzit, which means that making the tzitzit is part of the mitzvah. What does it not say by the arba minim? What does it say by the arba minim? Lokachem lochem, take the arba minim, which makes it sound like what matters only the end result. Now I get this from an itziv. Because the Nitziv argues, in general, I don't remember him saying it by this particular point, but the Nitziv makes an argument that there's a category in halacha called a hechsher mitzvah haktuvah b'Torah. That something, that is clearly not the mitzvah itself. It's just part of the process. But he says, if the process of the mitzvah is mentioned in the Torah, then it has a quasi-mitzvah status. And therefore, for example, he notes that in the Yerushalmi says you make a bracha on, let's say, building a sukkah. Now, do you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah by building the sukkah?
Yes.
No, obviously not. You have to live in the sukkah. The mitzvah is to live in the sukkah.
Oh, but there's a separate part for...
But the Nitziv argues that because the Torah says make a sukkah, even the process of making it is halachically significant, and therefore it's a quasi-mitzvah.
What else would it say?
It could just say live in a sukkah, and then you would know you had to make it. Yes, but... Correct.
So...
It also says, but... The,
to make it, there's some part of it. It does say make also it. Mitzvah to make the sukkah as well, not just the sukkah.
Or kiddushin, let's say, which at the very least is a hechder mitzvah ketuvah b'Torah. Even if you paskin like the Rush, that kiddushin is not a mitzvah itself, it is right. Kiyikach is still important. The process of kiddushin is still significant. It's not right. It's not just result oriented. The process matters. And he has other examples. So maybe that's what it's getting at. Maybe the reason I would argue the Itzur here is because it's one thing for Rashi to say process matters by tzitzis, because by tzitzis it says make your tzitzit, so at least the process is mentioned in the Torah. But by the Arba Minim, it just says take. And therefore there's no particular reason to think that putting them together is any sort of halakhically significant act. At all. I really thought I was going to get through this in one day. I really did. But it won't. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as we're trying to understand it and understanding it well, I don't care if it takes 2 days.
But that's now. Here's the best one, okay? I have the lowest.
What? No, we still have a few more minutes, but I don't think we have time to finish it looking at everything. But okay. Fine. Now. Okay, we're going to try to understand the Rambam probably tomorrow. Okay, but if I ask you now, what is the... Now, okay, so let's jump for a moment to the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara says... Chiser mitzvah, you fulfill the mitzvah, but you're lacking something. So what, which, limaskana, which of the mitzvot is lacking? So what does Rashi say? Don't guess. What does Rashi say? Which mitzvah is lacking? If one more person guesses and doesn't look at the Rashi and tell me what Rashi says inside, I'm going to have a fit. Okay?
Where did look?
Well, I'm trying to interpret the phrase chiser mitzvah. So, likely choice would be the Rashi that's called chiser mitzvah. Yeah. Ilemad chiser mitzvah. So let's read Rashi. Rashi's Hava Amina. What?
Mitzvah Hakdama.
Well, look at the two Rashis. There's two Rashis. He said, right, you'll see there's actually a change. So Rashi's Maskana is right. Gavi is right. Limaskana, what Rashi thinks is the mitzvah that you're missing is?
Putting it first.
Is this mitzvah called Hakdama? Right, meaning you totally performed tzitzit. What did you miss? The mitzvah, so to speak, or quasi mitzvah, or whatever it is, of putting the white in before the blue. But which of them is lacking? When we said one of them would be lacking, was it the white or the blue that would be lacking? Or both? What does Rashi say? In the first one? First Rashi on the page?
White.
The white. Where Rashi says, Ilema the chitzit, the mitzvah, the hafa amina would have been that you would not have fulfilled the white. Amaya tzal, Rabbi Akubamak, etc. Now, why does Rashi say that? Because that's the simple pshat of the Gemara. Because Gemara, he's coming on the line, Ilema chiser mitzvah dilavan. The key mitzvah is clearly, meaning the simple pshat is that Rashi is 100% correct. That the potential here was that you'd be lacking the white, not the blue. Now, what does that indicate? As Rashi just highlights, the simple pshat of the Gemara is that what was the Gemara's havamina? That what would chiser mean? That the only thing that matters is that the white goes in first. Meaning it's a din in the white. The tchelet wouldn't be lacking at all.
Thursday.
And who doesn't like this? Who jumps on this and says, what does that even mean, that only the white is lacking? Because that's weird. Right? What should it be? Right? Misvara, what should it be? Yes. Meaning the Hava Mina should have been... Wait a second. The Hava Mina should have been... It should have been that if order matters, it matters to both of them. Not... Now, the way the Gemara says it is that if the white... If you weren't Yotzei the white... And Lavan was Makavet at Tchelet, then Memela, you wouldn't be Yotzei Tchelet, not because you weren't Yotzei the Tchelet, but because the Tchelet requires Lavan, and the Lavan requires order, and therefore you're not Yotzei. But Tosafot asks, I don't understand, if order matters, so why are you emphasizing that order only matters for the white, and it will only invalidate the Tchelet as a second stage of the process, meaning that insofar as order matters at all, order matters if it invalidates the white, and then you would think that the blue needs the white, so then you won't be able to see the blue because there is no white.
But there's no,
Tosafot says, I don't understand. If once you already entertain the possibility that order matters, then order should matter directly to Tchelet and Lavan. I mean, what is that? He's, right, he says, even the Havamina, I don't understand. What is the Havamina of the Gemara? That if order matters, order only matters to white, and will only affect blue insofar as it affects white. Why don't you just say that the Havamina was that order matters to the creation of Tzitzit? And what is Tzitzit? Chelet plus Lavan.
So,
now it could be that what drove it is the assumption that Lavan is the Iker. Right, it could be that what drives the Gemara is the assumption that the Lavan is the Ikra. And as we saw, even Rashi, who says you need two and two, seems to think that at least Lavan, or at least the notion of strings, is Ikar because of the second Parsha, where it doesn't mention anything about colors, it just mentions Tzitzit.
Well, strings is the Ikar, but
correct. So it's a bit messy, but definitely for Rambam this is easy, right? It's clear, Lavan is Ikar, and the Chelet is the... Correct. So it makes a lot of sense. There is a logic to that. And if you think they're equivalent, it gets much murkier. But Tosafot, who's really the Shita who thinks they're equal, is really obviously is the most bothered because for the Rambam, I could explain it. I could say, look, Lavan, since it is fundamentally white, Tchelet is Korech. So what the Gemara is saying is that really, what's the order should be? What should the order be? Put the white in because that's the main, and then put in the tchelet and wrap the tchelet around it because the tchelet, by its very definition, is a secondary stage. It's that which wraps the white. Right? There's inherent logic there. But who's not going to like it? Obviously. Tosafot. Why is Tosafot not going to like that simple argument that I just made?
Because he says that they're equal.
Because he thinks their mom is equal. That it's two and two, and that he thinks that potentially if you don't have two... If you don't have tchelet, how many strings should you have in your tzitzit total?
Two,
which is four. Meaning he mamish thinks they're equal. So according to Tosafot, it shouldn't be that, oh, I'm lacking the white. If you even had a habamina, the process matters, it should directly invalidate tchelet and lavan. Mm-hmm. Right? Lavan and tchelet. So what's Tosafot? So that's what Tosafot says. Right? Tema. The if chavilah the mevrid mitzvah lavan avada mitzvah tchelet anasich lo kalach chiser. He said, I don't understand. Why don't you say the opposite? You might as well say the opposite. Then maybe you fulfill the white, but you don't fulfill the blue. Now he also has a different svara. I would have said the reason he's bothered by this is why don't you invalidate both? But he actually has a different argument. What's Tosu's argument? Can you figure out what is his real argument? Why is he really bothered by this? Let's see if you can catch it. Why says I would have said the reason Tosafot is really bothered is why don't you say you lose both? But that's not his argument. His argument is a little bit different, which is you should only not be Yotzei Tchelet. Why? There's a Balabatish reason to this.
You should only not be Yotzei Tchelet?
Yes. Why?
Because you did the white at the right.
Correct. Time. Meaning if order matters, then when I put in Tchelet, it counted for nothing. Which means that when I put the white in,
it was right.
It's right, because the tchelet didn't count. Mm. Which means that the one that shouldn't count should be whichever one went in first. Because since it went in first and it wasn't supposed to go in first, it doesn't count. So Memela, when you put in the white, it's first. Because the blue doesn't count. The blue doesn't exist.
But it doesn't.
Right? Right? That's Tosa's real argument.
Wait,
right?
The tzitzis is still there.
you still got another two blue strings before the white strings there. It's not like they disappear. You put in the blue strings first.
Good. So what you're going to have to say is that that it doesn't work that way.
They're not considered kosher strings.
Right, you're going to have to say that that's not quite the way things work.
Is that,
but anyways, but what's his actual answer? He says, V'yish lomar.
That's such a stretch, though.
He says, V'yish lomar, mishum demasnizin nakar hachi, halovan eno makev et chelet perish, eno makev klal et chelet shekidem. And he says, it must be that the reason he says this is because that what it means is that the tchelet is impervious. That it doesn't. That the whole point of this is that tchelet is impervious to order. Right? That's the way. That clearly what the Mishnah is saying. That the only thing that matters is that lavan goes in first. Now again, you might say the reason that's true is because it's more chashuv. It's the definition. Right? We can come up with different things, but I don't think it's an accident that Tosfot is bothered by this. And Tosfot is wondering why is the problem on the white? It should be on the blue. It really should be on the tchelet. Okay, but that is. But again, all this was in the Havamina. Maskana. It sounds like the mitzvah you're lacking is maybe order, or maybe there's something lacking in the white, blue. I don't know. It's hard to tell what the Maskana is. It's clear what the Havamina was. Okay, so what we'll do tomorrow then, I guess, is read the next Tosvos, which is Lemaskana. Okay, is this entire halacha. Does the Chum hold this at all? Or is this only halacha in Rebbe? Right, because it clearly is introduced to explain Rebbe. Does that mean only Rebbe would hold of it and everyone else wouldn't hold of it? And then what I want you to do is try to understand the Rambam. Right? Who does the Rambam hold like, if anybody? And then I give you the Chazon Ish, who discusses a nafkamina of this lahalacha. Even if you don't wear tchelet, is there any nafkamina of this halacha? Does this teach us anything about the nature of tzitzit? So we'll do that. We'll do that tomorrow. Okay?